This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamlin, Kyle Madsen, Jesse Tapia helping us out on the ones and twos. Heard there's 70 games left in the Kings season. Everything's going to be fine, everyone.
There are.
Yeah, everything's good.
I have another 20. It's not going to make a difference.
No, everything is fine. Everything is okay. They're going to win 10 in a row. They're going to get to four games over, and we're all going to look silly for assessing this team as bad, quote-unquote, through 12 games. Did they lose by 33 times in four games? Absolutely. Have they lost to teams they have no business losing to? Well, not really. Actually, the Suns might not be bad. But are we already, is there trade chatter already talking? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Are they already got eyes on 2027? Absolutely. But that doesn't mean this season is over. Nay, it's only just beginning.
It's time for the beam scheme.
It's time for the beam scheme. Oh, my. I got the buttons wrong. It's ridiculous. Hey, shifting gears. You know what? No, we're not going to shift gears. We'll talk NFL with Faraz Siddiqui coming up at 11:20. Brock Purdy's back for the 49ers. In case you missed it, he's going to play this week. Ricky Pearsall on track to play this week. The 49ers entering a crucial four-game stretch against Arizona, Carolina, Cleveland, their bye week, and then they get Tennessee. They have a chance to really cement their spot in the postseason if they can take care of business there. We can talk about that with D'Lo and KC coming up on the handoff. But first, as much as we joke about how good or bad this, how poorly this season has gone for the Kings, tonight does feel like was that really rock bottom on Wednesday, or do they bounce back here? Do they have it in them to dig deep and play well against Minnesota, win a couple of these games on the road, and set themselves up to not be a total calamity when their schedule lightens up a little bit? So, we'll do some keys to victory. How do the Kings beat the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight? We each have three keys. James Hamm, what's your first?
Man up. Like, this team needs to respond to Doug Christie. And if they don't, like, in all honesty, I think it's on the players as much as it is anything else. Like, go out there and play hard. Show us something. Like, don't just get blown out by 30. I mean, if win or lose, you lose by 6, you lose by 8, you lose by 12, that's fine. Like, this is a talented team at home that, like, really takes care of home court. Mm-hmm. Like, they've been one of the better home court teams over the last couple of years, which is why they keep going to the Western Conference Finals.
Yep.
But, like, I need to see that this team is playing with fire, that this team is going out there and trying. Mm-hmm. And if not, just start benching guys left and right. Mm-hmm. And make sure it's obvious.
And that's it. That's where, when you said earlier it's on the players, but this is where the coaching staff becomes important.
Yeah.
If they go out and throw their jerseys on the court again, A, they're not, whatever message he's putting down is not responding, mm-hmm, or is not resonating. But B, like, man, you've already said it. You said it publicly. If you go out and roll out the same starting lineup expecting a different result and you don't get one, like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, okay, shame on you again. Fool me three times, shame on you again.
They won't do, like, it again. Like, yeah, they will.
That's where, to me, the arrow gets pointed towards the coaching staff if it happens again. Number one for me is a little bit similar. You got to understand the crossroads that you're at as a team right now. You have to understand that, yes, you know what? There are 70 games to go. It is dire right now.
Mm-hmm.
But you play well tonight. You even steal a win tonight on the road against Minnesota. tough place to win. You start to, okay, hey, now can you build some kind of momentum? Can you win tonight and continue playing well for the rest of this road trip? Maybe you have a clunker here or there, but make that not the norm. Make that the outlier, right? If you can't in this spot look around the room or look in the mirror and say, I have to play well tonight. I have to play well on both ends of the floor. For however many minutes I'm on the court, I'm going to play 100 miles an hour at 100%.
Yep.
If this spot isn't it for you, there's not going to be one. Because this is such a classic, like, bounce back, Kings play well, everybody saying bad things, eating their words. We're not talking trades. We're talking about, can they beat San Antonio now? Like, this is that spot.
Mm-hmm. Show resiliency.
That's it.
Yep.
Number two.
Switch it up. Running the same basic lineups out there aren't working. It's time for change.
Yep.
It is. I know someone in the chat is mentioning, you know, it all started going downhill when you put Precious Achiuwa in the starting lineup. Show me another option. Show me that there's something else that Doug could do in that situation, that you have someone else. Like, I don't think Precious Achiuwa has been a problem. But the fact is, when you start a starting lineup like he did the other night, where you have five non-shooters, like, game over.
Mm.
The game's over. Like, Russell Westbrook, again, has been phenomenal for the Kings, but he was out-punching his weight at behind the three-point line by a ton,
mm-hmm.
and he was going to come back down to earth, and that's what happened. That's what's mm-hmm. happened over the last two games, where his three-point shot has just been gone, right? That was
sure.
That was always going to be what was going to happen. Like, he's a 30% shooter for his career from behind mm-hmm. the arc. He's not going to sustain 44%. Okay? Like,
which is fine. You didn't bring Russell Westbrook in to shoot threes.
No. But when that's your starting lineup, where your best three-point shooter is Russell Westbrook, and, you know, Domas can't hit the broadside of a barn from three at this point, DeMar DeRozan is shooting way above his weight from three mm-hmm. as well, goes 1-6 from the field. Okay. Like, whatever happened in the last game, most of it made sense for, like, the laws of averages.
Sure.
So now it's time. It's like, how are you going to, you have to make some changes, because, like, it's fundamental. Like, being able to shoot the three-point shot is fundamental.
Yeah.
It spaces the floor. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you cannot shoot the three, especially against a big team like this, what exactly are you going to do against them?
I don't know.
You try to run downhill on them. You try to get in the key. Rudy Gobert's waiting for you.
Yep.
And you can say a bunch of things about Rudy Gobert, but you know the way to beat Rudy Gobert is to drag his ass away from the basket and shoot threes on him.
Yep. Or when he closes out, drive by him.
He gets played off the court in every single playoff series because every team in the league has a bunch of three-point shooters, and he can't hang.
Yep.
And the Kings can't do that in a regular season game.
Nope. Tough. They sure can't. Number two for me, attack mismatches and do so with urgency.
Mm.
If Mike Conley gets switched on to Zach LaVine, go. Mike Conley gets switched on to DeMar DeRozan, go. Rudy Gobert gets switched onto Zach LaVine on the perimeter, cook him. Don't just, hey, here's Rudy Gobert. Okay, got to back it out, got to wait. Like, no, go, man. Show some urgency.
Okay, and
when you get a mismatch, exploit it.
The reverse. I don't want to see the reverse anymore. I'm so sick and tired of watching one of the Kings players get man-to-man against a great defender. This team tonight, they've got McDaniels.
Mm-hmm.
Do not go one-on-one against McDaniels when you're 6'6 and he's 6'9 and he's got a 7'3 wingspan and that dude moves like a guard.
And he is a dynamite defender.
He's a dynamite. Do not go up in the post and try to dunk over the top of Rudy Gobert.
Mm-hmm.
Like, use your head.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if you, again, you talk about mismatches. You get Domas matched up on Julius Randle, back him down.
Yeah.
Like, just go at him. Yeah. He's not a great defender.
He's not. He's a big body, not a great defender.
What I keep seeing in this season specifically is guys deciding to go one-on-one against Dyson Daniels. Like, I just threw my hands up. Like, what are you doing?
It does not.
The dude averaged over 3 steals a game last year. He's an outstanding defender. I watched the Kings the other night. There was a pick and roll. They tried to do a side pick and roll. Dyson Daniels and Kristaps Porzingis trapped the ball handler on the sideline. What were you thinking is going to happen there?
No clue.
A 7'3" dude who can move in space and the best steal guy in the league, and you get yourself pinned against the sideline, the only option you have right there is to try to bounce the ball off like Porzingis' leg and out of bounds, so you might be able to reset the play.
Which is not a play.
Use your head. and these are veteran players doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, again, don't go one-on-one against Dyson Daniels. Don't go one-on-one against McDaniel. Yeah. Don't go one-on-one against Wembanyama.
Honestly, Anthony Edwards, good defender.
Yeah.
Like, don't, I just.
Quality also, defender. Also, you same, can go at him, but yeah.
Same deal. Same with this. Sabonis specifically. I understand, got the ball in his hands, nobody's cutting, nobody's moving. Don't go at Rudy Gobert one-on-one and throw up a wild shot.
Yeah.
That's just find something different to do. Something different to do. Number three.
They have to defend the three-point line. This is the second-best three-point shooting team in the league per percentage. They shoot over 40% from three. Mm-hmm. The Kings don't defend anybody. The only reason why they were in the game early against Minnesota is because Minnesota missed their threes early on. Yeah, the second they started hitting, it's like, oh, come on.
Yep.
Every three was wide open. Mm-hmm. Like, this is only a matter of time before you get killed.
Yep. Yep. Tough. Right there with you. Number three for me. Can someone drop 40? Can just Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Domas, Neek, Keon? I don't... Can one person just carry the offense in a way where it's not like, oh, Zach LaVine had 26 and DeMar had 18 and Russell Westbrook had 14 and Domas had 15. Like, no, can one person force Minnesota to scramble and move their defense? And can one person just get hot and carry the Kings one night?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, and you know what happens when you do have that happen? It becomes easier for everybody else.
Yes.
Everyone else's shots are a little more wide open.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good
key. They got the players to do it.
They do.
Somebody just go do it. Zach, specifically.
Or Russ.
Or Russ. Like, somebody. Anyways. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. If the Kings do all those things, they'll go steal a win tonight in Minnesota. And we're going to help you steal a win in fantasy football next. We haven't talked a ton of NFL today, but we're going to get into it with Faraz Siddiqui, Upper Hand Fantasy. UpperHandFantasy.com is the website. One of the best fantasy analysts in the game. We are taking your questions. This segment's for you. It's not for me. It's not for James. It's not for Jesse. This is for you. YouTube.com/ESPN1320. Fire off your question in the chat. We save as many as we can. We get to as many as we can. Faraz Siddiqui, Upper Hand Fantasy, going to help you win your fantasy this week, fantasy game this week, and your fantasy league this season. That's next on ESPN1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. James is over there. I'm Kyle. Big Kings game tonight in Minnesota. And we're going to learn a lot about whether it was actually rock bottom on Wednesday or whether they're still falling. Faraz Siddiqui, Upper Hand Fantasy, is going to join us to help you win your fantasy football week, your fantasy football league. Get fired up for that. Faraz Siddiqui, Upper Hand Fantasy, going to join us in just a couple of minutes. So Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan confirmed yesterday that Purdy is, in fact, playing against the Arizona Cardinals this weekend, barring a setback with his toe on Friday or Saturday. But all signs point to Brock Purdy playing against Arizona. I don't think this moves the needle for me much. In terms of the next four games, they're at Arizona, they've got Carolina, they're at Cleveland, then they get the bye week, then they get Tennessee. I think the 49ers' chances to go 3-1 or 4-0 in those four games are roughly similar, if not a tick higher with Brock Purdy under center.
Okay, so I agree with you that the next four games, like, they're four winnable games, and mm-hmm. I don't expect a variance in win and loss totals whether Brock is playing or not. Mm-hmm. But I do think that the only way for the 49ers to become, like, jump tiers and mm-hmm. to become a contender is for Brock Purdy to be back and to be himself and to start hitting Pearsall and Jennings and Kittle and Ayuk gets healthy. Like, mm-hmm. the only pathway forward for this team is that they're a dynamic as hell offensive team.
That's it.
Because they've got to figure out a way to keep their defense fresh and off the field, because it's a bunch of young guys who don't know what they're doing, and you're missing too many stars.
Yeah, man, I'm with you. That's where the Purdy thing comes in, is the ceiling is so much higher. And if he's going to play at the level that he did in 2022 and in 2023, I think they have a much better chance to get to that level of offense that they're going to need to get to. If they lose a couple of these games, they're going to have to upset either Seattle or Indianapolis. And they're going to have to beat the Bears.
Yeah.
Because that's our final three games. At Indianapolis, home against the Bears, home against Seattle.
You win these four games, you're at 10 wins.
You're at 10. You want, that should get you in, but you win one of your final three.
Yep.
You go 7-1. No, that's wrong. 7-2. How many games do they have left? 4 and then 3.
They have 7.
7. There we go. If you go 5-2,
yeah,
you're in.
Yeah.
At 6, that gets you to 11-6. You're in the playoffs. 10-7 should get you there. But I Brock Purdy being back this week has so much less to do with this week and more about, oh, can they go on the road and upset somebody in the playoffs? Because to do that, you're going to need, because Purdy's going to push the ball down the field. Certainly he will with Ricky Pearsall back in the lineup, who's an actual like vertical field stretcher. But to me, I'm trying to not get bogged down with details. But their inability to stretch the field right now is making it a lot easier to defend the run, and we know that the 49ers aren't going to do anything in the postseason if they're not able to run the football.
Yeah.
And I think Brock Purdy being back will help in that way too. And Firas Siddiqui being here is going to help us as we get into Fantasy Friday here on The Insiders with Firas Siddiqui. Upperhand Fantasy, upperhandfantasy.com is the website. It's a Odyssey podcast. You can follow him on Instagram at Upperhand Fantasy. Firas, how's it going, man?
What's up, guys?
Hanging
Brock
out.
Brock Purdy back, huh?
Is week 12 already?
No, it's not. It's week 11.
Week 11.
Okay, that's a, oh. Boy, that was, I've been saying week 11 on Niners Wire all week.
You know what it is, guys? I have been, I was going to say, I'm knees deep in looking at all of the rest of season, you know, playoff schedules, all that kind of stuff for, you know, who to trade for and all that kind of stuff. So week 12 is a lot of people's trade deadlines. And if you're going to make moves, now's the time to do it.
What if you don't have any players that are worth trading?
Great question.
Hey, man, you're screwed, huh? I mean, listen, you got to get creative with your starting lineup. You know, like a lot of people look at their benches and they look at their benches and they say, okay, well, I wish I could, you know, use my bench to trade, because then you could leave your starting lineup somewhat intact or make it better. But, you know, sometimes it's you can combine somebody from your starting lineup with somebody from your bench, upgrade that spot in your starting lineup. There's a few options.
Okay.
Get creative.
I'm going to start with listener questions today because I have nothing for myself.
Oh, okay. I've got a couple for myself.
All right, great. Perfect. Johnny G, will get started with our guy Johnny G at youtube.com/ESPN1320. Needs to start two of Kamani Vidal, Troy Franklin, and Rashad White.
I think you got to have Vidal in there. You got to have Troy Franklin in there as well. You know, a lot of too high coverage, you know, by the Chiefs there. So, it's a tough matchup overall. But I think Troy Franklin should be in your lineup. He has been targeted way more on a per route run basis than Courtland Sutton this year against too high safety coverage. So he should be there. Vidal going over 100 yards last week. You got to kind of ride it. You know, you just never know. Like, you know, it could be a boom week, bust week, but you got to live with the volatility. With Rashad White, you know, it's him and Sean Tucker now in that backfield. They're sharing that work a little bit, especially on early downs. So it's a good matchup for the, you know, against the Bills, but I would prefer to go with those other two guys.
I'm going to ask you one from my team, and I think it'll probably be a question from other people as well, but what do you do with this wide receiver situation in Jacksonville with Parker Washington and Brian Thomas Jr.? Are either going to play? Is there one that you would play over the other?
You know, it's tough when Brian Thomas Jr. is active. It's tough to bench him, you know. Overall, it's a relatively tough matchup. The Chargers have been playing really, really well against wide receivers this year. They don't allow a ton of fantasy points. But you would imagine that, you know, with a team that plays a lot of too high safety coverage, they'll be looking a lot more underneath. And that's really what Parker Washington has been doing out of the slot. It seems like he's going to maintain that slot role. And Jakobi Meyers is going to kind of be that flanker, you know, play that Z spot while Brian Thomas Jr. is the X receiver. So, yeah, you know, I think I have them ranked right now. Brian Thomas Jr. number one, Parker Washington as number two, Jakobi Meyers as number three. Jakobi Meyers can easily work his way up to the two spot, you know, once he gets a little bit more familiar with the offense. And you never know, man. Like, would you be surprised if he starts out-targeting Brian Thomas Jr. At some point? I wouldn't be surprised, you know, given the start that Brian Thomas Jr. has had to the season. So, but that's how I have it going into this week.
Okay. Faraz Siddiqui, Upper Hand Fantasy, joining us for Fantasy Friday, answering your fantasy football questions. Our guy Soren at youtube.com/ESPN1320 wants to know, Kelce against Denver, that's Travis Kelce against Denver, or Aronde Gadsden against Jacksonville?
I'm going Gadsden, dude. Like, I'm all on the Aronde Gadsden train. The dude is just a beast. Yeah. First read targets galore. They're basing their passing offense around Gadsden right now, which is absolutely bonkers. It's amazing to see. So if you have him, start him.
Great.
Okay, we got to pick two. It is from John.
Oops, sorry.
Oh, where'd it go? There we go. Rashi Rice, Derrick Henry, McConkey, and is Gentia must start this week?
This is a good question. I mean, Rashi Rice is in your lineup no matter what. I think if I had to choose one between Derrick Henry and McConkey, I'm probably going to go Derrick Henry here. It's really tough to bench McConkey because he's been like a top 12 wide receiver. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if Genty's part of this question, but the question of whether Genty is a must start this week, I would say he is. You know, the matchup is too sweet. Going up against Dallas this week, you can't avoid that. He's been relatively good, even in tough matchups. Last week against Denver, tough matchup. Ended up coming through for you with 15 fantasy points in PPR. I think you just got to go with Genty this week, no matter what.
Talking about Faraz Siddiqui, upperhandfantasy.com, one of the finest fantasy analysts in the game, answering your questions now. RussDog316 in the chat needs two out of George Kittle, Brock Bowers, Troy Franklin, and DK Metcalf.
This one is a little bit tough, but Brock Bowers is in, though. Okay, I'll just say that off the bat. Brock Bowers is in. It's really between Troy Franklin and George Kittle for me. Metcalf is just all over the place. Like, you just kind of never know what you're going to get from DK Metcalf. So I'm going to go with George Kittle here, surprisingly. You know, Troy Franklin against the Chiefs, really, really tough matchup. Yeah, Brock Purdy back. So I think Kittle's the move here. Kittle and Bowers starts with two tight ends.
To stick with the 49ers, it's not a question from the chat, but who is it that, like, because Pearsall's back, Jennings has had a good couple of weeks, Kittle, you got, you know, again, Brock Purdy's back, but how would you handle sort of the three wide receivers?
Yeah, it's tough now, right? Like, it's I would say this is a pretty ambiguous situation going into this week. You know, early on, you know, you had Juwan Jennings kind of playing second fiddle. Kyle Shanahan is going to decide who is going to get the football. Like, he is the master at scheming up wide receivers. Like, we've seen it multiple times this year from multiple wide receivers. And then once Juwan Jennings got healthy, it's pretty much over, right? And, like, Juwan Jennings is the guy. Now, Ricky Pearsall might end up being the guy this week. Now, the team they're going up against, you know, they play the same amount of two high, single high. So, like, we're going to see a little bit of both because Pearsall is absolutely wrecking single high safety coverage this year. Mm-hmm. Puka Nacua is number one in yards per route run against single high coverage. Ricky Pearsall is number two.
Wow.
Which is absolutely crazy. So he's busting that ass right now in single high coverage. I'm sorry. Hey, listen, find me. Find me. Okay.
There's a flag somewhere.
Right. The flag. I'm sorry, guys. But anyway, so yeah, you know, it's hard to tell. You know, I'm starting Juwan Jennings no matter what. I think Ricky Pearsall, you know, you put him in if you need him because it is his first week back from the injury. Maybe he's on a limited snap count. Who knows? That's how I would rank them right now.
I want to stick at that game down at State Farm Stadium in Glendale. Casey Tucker wants to know, is in a 20-man league. Feels like too many. It's PPR league. Is he rocking with Cardinals wide receiver Greg Dortch with Marvin Harrison Jr. out, or is he playing Trey Tucker for the Raiders?
Oh man, I will say Dortch does have a really good matchup out of the slot. You know, his opponent is giving up one of the, you know, maybe the second most fantasy points to slot receivers this year.
Yeah, so Upton, like, Stout, know, not great.
Not great. You know, I don't know, man. Like, it's tough for me to say, like, to start Greg Dortch. Oh yeah, that's the 49ers. That's who his opponent is.
Yeah,
nobody got that. But yeah, I it's hard for me to recommend Dortch, man. It really is. Like, you know, he had the end zone target last week. I just can't do it. I can't do it. I'll play Trey Tucker. Good matchup against Dallas.
Let's see. We've got from Zabo, Chase Brown or Judkins.
You got to go Chase Brown. No Samaje Perine. Chase Brown is absolutely going to. He played on 95% of snaps last week. That's what's going to happen this week. He had 14 targets last week with Samaje Perine out. Remember last year when he was the RB3 in fantasy points per game after he took over? He was only behind two running backs, right? And like the top two running backs, like Saquon Barkley, Jahmyr Gibbs, like he was number three in fantasy points per game, okay, when he had that role. This is the role he's going to have this week, potentially next week, or however long Samaje Perine is going to be out for. He is a must start.
Talking about Faraz Siddiqui, upperhandfantasy.com is the website. Also follow him on Instagram, @upperhandfantasy. Tons of good videos, tons of good content there. If your question's not getting answered on today's program, Tyler asks, Woody Marks or Rashad White?
I'm actually going with Woody Marks here.
Nice.
Woody Marks last week, for the first time, he was actually the early down back. You know, he's been a passing down back. He was like a, you know, negative game script guy. You know, when they get down, he was the guy on the field when Nick Chubb would be off the field. But last week, it was a different story. He was the early down guy. He started the game. And even when it was a neutral game script, he was the guy on the field, which is the first time this season. It seems like they've made the switch. Mm-hmm. And Woody Marks is now officially, I think, an RB2. One game sample size. But I think this could continue moving forward.
All right, let's see. How about this from Paris? Do I start Jordan Love or Purdy this week? He's 7-3, just flexing.
Nice.
I love it, man. I am going Brock Purdy. I'm going Brock Purdy. You know, listen, I think people forget, man. Brock Purdy is like a every single week wide receiver. You know, I'm sorry, top 10 quarterback in fantasy, right? He just gets it done. You know, doesn't put up a ton of rushing numbers. He doesn't need it. He does at times. Is he going to do that with the toe injury? I don't know. But he has his weapons back. He's starting. They took their time with him. I think he's ready to rock. So I'm going Brock Purdy personally.
Got about 3 minutes left. We're going to try and go rapid fire through the rest of these. We've got 14 questions left. Marcus wants to know, Tony Pollard or Kareem Hunt?
Just quit.
Perfect. Next.
Lamar or Darnold? Serious question.
By the way, I'm going Kareem Hunt there. Lamar or Darnold? I'm going Lamar, dude. Go Lamar.
Okay.
Kings fan, 333. It's two options. Tyler Warren. Oh, he's got Tyler Warren on a bye. So he's looking for Colston Loveland, Pat Freiermuth, Cade Otton, or Dalton Schultz. My goodness.
Why do you have so many tight ends?
A lot of tight ends.
You got to go Cade Otton here.
Oh, okay. Let's see. What do we got next? We've got Tez Johnson or Chase Brown.
Go Chase Brown. It's not even close.
Cool.
Oh, not even close. My goodness. Kamara asking, pick two, Adams, Dowdle, or Henry, and Henry.
I'm going Devontae Adams and Rico Dowdle.
Not worried about the oblique with Devontae?
Not worried about the...
We didn't talk about that. Devontae Adams getting a little nicked up against the Niners. That was the most relatable football injury I've ever seen. Like, really, he just went to do his little move off the line and was like, my back.
That's exactly what I do. Like, that's like,
you're right.
It's the same exact move.
You know how many times I've sneezed and thrown my back out?
So relatable. You just
so many times.
One wrong step, like, there it went.
Yeah.
That's the most old man injury I've ever seen on a field.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's fire away. Marks, Chubb, Sutton, McMillan, flex one.
Woody Marks, baby.
Nice. Love it. We're starting Woody Marks in our work league, James and I.
Love
are.
So that's
love
right.
The Woody Marks love. Oh, we'll do this again. Woody Marks, Chase Judkins, or Chase Brown?
Ooh.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ooh, I'm gonna
Quinshon Judkins.
Yeah, bench one. I'm going to start Chase Brown and Woody Marks here, benching Judkins.
Very good.
Let's see. Jameson Williams or Romeo Doubs?
Ooh, man. I think Romeo Doubs is a safer play, but I'm actually going to go with Jameson Williams, man. He's been doing this thing last couple games. New play caller. I'm going to trust it.
It feels like Dan Campbell took over the play calling specifically so Jameson Williams would get the ball more.
100%. John Morton, the OC, a couple weeks ago, said, and I quote, "I failed Jameson Williams."
Well,
so there you go.
Dan Campbell making sure it doesn't happen. Our buddy David Lopez asking, Roma Dunze or Aronde Gadsden?
Ooh, this one's really, really tough. You know what, man? I'm going Roma Dunze here. It's so close, though. I'm going to go Dunze by a hair.
Ooh, how about Teo Johnson or Gadsden?
I'm going Gadsden here pretty easily.
Okay.
Very good. Is it time to give up on Bucky Irving, who was allegedly back at practice this week?
He was back in practice this week, but he's not going to play this week. But at least he was back in practice.
Yeah.
They need to get him, you know, they need to know that he can take contact. That'll probably be next week. Hopefully he'll be going in your lineup next week, week 12. So don't give up.
Word. Last one, TCG.
Yeah, what is this? We got Tucker from Tampa Bay, Monongai, Robinson Jr.
So a bunch of desperate running back options here. My favorite desperate running back. By the way, these are good desperate running back options. I'm going to go with Sean Tucker here, going up against the Bills. Good matchup. He led the Bucs in rushing the last 2 weeks. I think he can get it done again.
Right on time. Faraz, you are the very best. UpperHandFantasy.com. Follow him on Instagram at Upperhand Fantasy. Tons of good content there as well. And of course, with us every Friday at 11:20 a.m. Faraz, good luck this week. We appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you, man. By the way, really nice sweater. I love that sweater.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's a Christmas
present. He was talking to me. What are you talking about?
No, I think he's talking to me.
All right, guys. I'll see you later.
Thanks, Faraz. Bye. I love that bit. Just two guys wearing a sweater. Hey, nice sweater. Let them duke it out. Yours is definitely going to be higher quality than mine, I think. At least it looks like it. Anyways. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jesse Tapia helping us out on the ones and twos. The handoff is next. D'Lo and Casey going to hop in with us. We'll talk some NFL Week 11, but we'll also talk about this road trip coming up for the Kings. It's a big one if they have any chance of turning this season around. We'll talk about that on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader. On the ones and twos, James Hamm, Kyle Madsen, you know the drill. I want you to say what you just said, James. Read the thing you just said.
Now I got to find it again.
Oh, okay. It was about there not being a market, a trade market for Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
His market is small for Anthony. The market is small for Anthony Davis.
There's a belief Dallas could turn to the approach of moving on from Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving.
Which would just be, yikes.
Well, but, I mean, you owe $54 million this year, $58.5 million, and then $62.8 million on Anthony Davis.
Yeah. Respond to your reaction, though? Mm-hmm. I get it. Like, nothing will compare to this deal. Nothing will compare to Luka and Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
But I couldn't help but think yesterday, Tyrese trade is looking worse and worse. The Tyrese for Sabonis trade. It's looking worse and worse because now no one wants Domas here.
Yeah.
And you talk about a small market. I don't know what the market is for Domantas Sabonis.
So
maybe it's not small, but it might be very, very specific.
That's it. Is you run into, and I think this is not even a Domantas Sabonis conversation. This could be Zach LaVine.
To take you off of Anthony Davis. Just like thinking about these trades, I was just like, I was thinking yesterday, this Tyrese trade is just getting worse and worse by the day.
But that's the path I was going down.
Okay.
Not necessarily Tyrese Haliburton, but trades in general.
Sure.
We can put a pin in the Tyrese Haliburton thing. But we talked about this even with a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it with Kevin Durant. Like, this is not exclusive to Domantas Sabonis or Zach LaVine or whoever. But in the NBA, with where teams are at financially, it is really, really difficult pull off a trade like that because a team might go, yeah, we love Sabonis, but we love Sabonis to pair with these three players and we would have to give up two of those to make the money work. So we're not going to swap him out because then we're just in the same place the Kings are at.
Well, and if you're pairing him with, if you're matching him up with, you know, two or three players, he's probably third or fourth.
Right.
Like in that pecking order. You know what I mean? Like if you have guys there like, man, Domas would be perfect. It's the it's the Golden State thing. The Golden State rumor, like if they decide to pull the trigger on this, if there's a deal to be made there for, you know, however you do that, he's third. Because you have Steph and you have Jimmy. Like he's at very sure. best, he's yeah. third.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, that works for them. They recognize, I think, they have a very, very small window. And if they feel like, yo, maybe this will... We need something. Something's got to push us if this is the move to do it. Like, they can afford to do it and then pay for it later. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have the Domas paired with our A and B, will get us to an NBA final, will make us, give us a legitimate opportunity to compete for an NBA championship, you can deal with the dollars that are at the end. The problem with Anthony Davis is, because one thing, like, Domas is going to be available. Like, he's going to play for you.
Sure.
You might be frustrated with the way he plays sometimes, but if you have a 1 and 2, that frustration is going to be much more diminished.
1,000%.
Anthony Davis, you just don't know if he's going to play. And even if you replaced, if you kept Golden State as the team and replaced the name with Domas with Anthony Davis, you can't confidently do that.
Nope.
If you're the Golden State Warriors, because you don't know if he's going to be available, and you can't die on that $60 million at the end of the contract.
Nope.
You can die at the end of Domas's contract if Steph retires or whatever. You did it.
Mm-hmm.
You can live with that. You can't live with rolling the dice on Anthony Davis and you get here to, you know, the first round of the playoffs and he's out for some mysterious reason. And all of a sudden, you know, Jimmy's fading a little bit and Steph is out there trying to be Superman against the Oklahoma City Thunder for 7 games.
Mm-hmm. 7? That's going 4.
Well, I was going to say, right. Like, it wouldn't make it that far.
Right. No, I get the... The other thing with Anthony Davis specifically that worries me is that it's a calf thing.
Yeah.
And the reason he's not back is because their medical staff is like, hey, that Achilles is something we're worried about.
Yeah.
And I
good
just don't.
For them.
Yes.
Good,
yes.
Good for
because
a medical.
Apparently, because
good
apparently for, Nico Harrison didn't care.
Yeah, good for a medical staff going, nope.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I think that's not what we're doing.
AD is always going to be a ticking time bomb. Because whether it's the Achilles or it's something else, I mean...
Yeah.
Like, I had a coach tell me one time that it wasn't like AD had missed a bunch of games in the season for the team he was on. And he's like, and it wasn't just like the 27 games or whatever he missed. It's like there were 13 games where he went to the locker room before halftime and never came back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's like, how do you even like build out a game plan when the game plan has to have a contingency for a 7-foot-tall, defensive-minded, great rebounding offensive player that doesn't show up in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have someone else that you can just swap in for him. Mm-hmm. It just, like, makes it horrible. And that's where, you know, again, like, availability is a huge ability of Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah.
You know, and, he plays through pain. He plays through all kinds of injuries. But
sometimes just being out there is really important.
Yeah.
Especially with a team that's good. It's not the best when your team's not good, as evidence by recent events in Sacramento. But when you have Steph, when you have a Jimmy, when you have guys who can go for 46 and lead you to a win against the top team in the conference, yeah, like you can have those frustrating nights because you know at some point it's going to pay off for you. It'll pay off for you in the playoffs. Sometimes the availability that Hammer's talking about is that goes a long way in a it goes a really, really long way in a series, but it goes a long way during the regular season.
I'd ask this question too. Like if you were to rank let's say LaVine, DeRozan, Sabonis, Monk, you're to rank them, like who would you trade first? Who would you go, I might be able to build around? You know, like I might be able to, like the next iteration of the Kings could still have this player on it.
Of the three that
of the four, who would go first?
You said second? You said Monk, LaVine, DeRozan, and Sabonis.
Yeah,
it's Monk, but I'm not building around Monk. I'd happily have Malik Monk on this basketball team. The other three, I just don't think you can. And I like Zach LaVine. I don't think you can build around him.
I agree.
I don't think you can build around Domantas Sabonis. And DeMar's 37 years old.
Yeah, 36, yeah.
I mean...
The problem with building around...
I love Russell Westbrook. I'm not building my basketball team around him either. You know what I mean?
Sure. The problem with building around a guy like Sabonis, because that's the first... That was the first one I'm like, oh, obviously Sabonis. But I think it has to be so specific.
Yeah.
And he can't be your best guy. So you have to not only, okay, so you have him, but now you need at least one, probably two guys better. And you have to have a
really
awesome rim
protector. But is that
a player
you can build around, though?
No,
like,
that's
if
it
has to be that specific, right, is that someone you can build around?
No
one goes, man, with Wemby. Even with Anthony Davis. Wemby's not even a fair example. Right. With Anthony Davis, you don't need a specific player to build around him.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis is very, very good. Casey brought up the other day, Anthony Davis, or maybe Jesse did, he'll go down as one of the great what-ifs.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
Anthony
totally,
Davis is
totally
probably had a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, no, he's going to make the Hall. I mean,
So Anthony Davis is at a Hall of Fame career. We could be talking about a top 10
sure
five player in NBA history if he had been healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm totally with you.
I think it's interesting, though, because I would also, like, I'd make the argument that if you're looking at what Doug Christie wants to do with this team, which I think we're all confused because we don't really see an outline of an offense or anything. But when he talks about the beautiful game and he talks about everybody passing and he talks about the ball moving through, and then you go back and you look at the early 2000 Kings and you look at Vlade and Weber and their ability to pass from the high post, like, Domas does fit what they're doing. He does fit the idea that they have, but you have to rewind and, like, try to replace so many of the pieces.
So if you
and
go
that's
to
what makes it tough.
If you go to the 2000s, then who is Domas in that group?
He's either Vlade or he's Weber. He's not Weber because he's not going to score 25 a game.
So that's what I thought. That exactly. He's Vlade. Vlade was very, very important, but he wasn't the one.
Yeah, but I also think that Domas, like, just offensively, is higher up on the like scale.
I agree. Than Vlade, but he's below Weber. I think Domas is a. I think Domas is a really, really good offensive. He's not Chris. I do think he's better than Vlade, though.
I don't know. I don't know if he's as skilled offensively as Vlade. Vlade was a better creator for himself.
Vlade had more
to be able to score. Like, he had a
guts.
More of a bag.
Yeah, but he averaged 11 points a game during his time in Sacramento. Vlade did.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
different
game. Yeah, it's a different game, but
the numbers.
What was this 3-point percentage, James?
24.6.
The numbers don't
taking one a year.
Domas has the numbers on him, like scoring the points and stuff like that. But Vlade, I think Vlade was more of a he was definitely a more offensive skilled player than Domas. Vlade, you couldn't do, and I hate to go back to this because we've talked about it for years, but you couldn't do what Kevin Looney did to Vlade. Vlade would make you pay. Like, Vlade was in.
Oh, I agree with
Vlade
that.
Vlade was in the finals, like, getting buckets and stuff like
but
that.
But is that on the offensive end or the defensive end?
Offensive end. Like, Looney was like, I'm going to just sit here.
Oh, the way he was guarding. Yeah. You're talking about the way Looney was guarding.
I'm going to just sit here and
because a lot went on with Looney
in that
series.
Yeah, they just sacked off.
Yeah.
Vlade, you couldn't do that with. And he's equal of a passer with Sabonis.
Oh, he was a magical passer. He didn't have the sheer volume of assists that Domas did, but I still, like, if you're looking at the way that you think that Doug Christie probably wants to build his team, I do think there is a world in which Zach LaVine fits into that. It's just a salary. And I do think that there's a way that Domas Sabonis fits into that scheme.
Is the problem with Zach and DeMar can't work?
Yeah, I'm going to guess that, like, that's a problem. Like, we talked about it the other day, but when you roll out a starting lineup and not one guy is a good three-point shooter, like, you've got no shot. Like, you can't do that again. And that's where you add in Zach LaVine and his ability to shoot the three, and at least there is a little bit of pull his way. But the rest of them, like, you can't start a starting five with Domantas Sabonis and Precious Achiuwa and DeMar DeRozan and Dennis Schroeder and Russell Westbrook, that nobody respects their three-point shot at all. And so they just clog the lane and sink back. You have to actually build a team. Like, I don't think, like, you can take Domantas Sabonis in and out of this thing, out of the discussion. Like, what exactly are you trying to build? Because right now you don't have enough shooters, you don't have enough length and athleticism, no matter who is playing center.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the deal. We're talking about Doug, and rightfully so. I don't think Scott Perry wants to build a team that way. Yeah, I don't think Scott Perry wants to build a team like the 2000 Kings. He wants, and I agree with him. This is how I would build a team. I need my point guard. I need a scoring, distributing point guard. That's who the offense is going to run through. Second would probably be a wing, like not today, but more of a Paul George type guy.
But that'd who's be that scorer? Like.
Oh, they don't. He's not here.
Like, no. But what I mean is, does he like Donovan? And I don't know the answer. I don't think he likes Jalen, and Jalen is Brunson is a scoring point guard.
Yeah.
We don't think he likes Trae Young. Trae Young is, I think he led the league in assists last year. If he wasn't, yeah, in his top three, he's a scoring point guard.
Yeah, but he's small. Both of those guys are smaller and don't defend. I think he's looking for, I believe, Scott Perry's looking for a guy that gets after it on the defensive end, can score by stretching the floor and creating for others. And actually create for others. Like, I think he wants to start the team with the point guard.
Chris Finch in Minnesota doesn't use the term point guard. He uses the term lead guard. I think that's an important distinction, because I think people think point guard and they think like, oh, distributor, and he's going to, but like, that's just not the NBA, the modern NBA. Like, Steph Curry is a point guard, but like, is he? Like, he's not.
Chris Finch
Anthony Edwards is ostensibly Minnesota's point guard, but he's not. Like, he's not that. So, anyways.
Chris Finch said that Rudy Gobert was a top five defense by himself, and that made me question everything I know about basketball. I was like, man.
Well, he is in the regular season.
I got
to
watch.
He is until you get to the final 4 minutes of a game.
Boy.
I don't know if it's just the regular season. Like, he struggles in big games.
Mm-hmm.
I think he struggles with elite coaches who aren't buying Chris Finch's line about a top five defense in and of himself.
Well, this is a super side conversation, but I think he's right in the regular season where, like, game in and game out, you're not, like, watching film and game planning for every game. As I understand it, Greg Popovich and the Spurs watch their own stuff. Like, we're going to go execute our stuff in the regular season and forget what the other team's doing. I think in the postseason, though, when you get down, like, okay, we're playing this team seven times, and you start scheming specifically around Rudy Gobert, I think it's easy to do so.
I think there's...
If that makes sense.
I think there's a lot of truth to Greg Popovich watching his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's in charge of the opponent.
Sure.
Like, someone has it, and maybe they're not watching film. Maybe it's just, hey guys, here's what I saw, here's what we're doing.
Yeah, it was just that when they're working on stuff, they're not game planning day in and day out for the opponent the way you do in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wonder if that's where Rudy Gobert becomes less effective.
Well, they've also watched the NBA for the past 10 years. Well, and they're like, this is what you do. You draw him out of the paint.
Mm-hmm.
You get him on a guard.
And he's useless.
Or you do like Dallas did that one year in the playoffs when he got played off the floor. And you have five perimeter guys. Mm-hmm. And the guy that Rudy's guarding is in the corner shooting threes, shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah.
And they'll have to get him off the floor.
He can't, right, because he can't punish him offensively. Right.
That's like the opponent of the Sacramento Kings. Just run. They won't chase us.
That's not far off.
Damn.
It's like a little badass, like, kid shoplifting. Like, no, just grab the candy bar. No one's going to chase us. that's every team who plays the Kings. Just run. They're not going to follow us.
Not far off at all.
You're listening to KIFM West Sacramento, KRXQHD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports Leader, always free on the Odyssey app.
You're in charge of those now. You gotta get fluid. if you fail, they're gonna call you. Be like, hey man, gotta get that read tight.
Well. No, I think it's just getting the words out. I don't think it's just as long as I identify the station. As far as I know. Like,
yeah.
Can you imagine I get a call? Yeah, hey, got the legal ID. You know, we checked that off. That's great. Could you just need a little
more zing and pep? A
little more pace.
Yeah.
A little more zing, a little more pep.
Hey, how you doing? This is Philadelphia.
I want to bring up something from the chat.
Hey, Kyle, it's Philly again. it's fall fun and games till that call comes. Go ahead, Hammer.
Yeah, Jacob P says Scott Perry does whatever Papa V says. And I'm going to tell you, Jacob, and other Kings fans that are listening, this is not, in fact, the case at all. Like, Scott Perry walked in the door and literally started interviewing every single person in the building. He is creating his own culture that is separate from anything that I've seen before. And I'm talking, like, every aspect of the franchise.
Almost like, to the point of, like, settle down.
Yeah, like ticket takers, like locker room attendants, not like getting hit with dress code violations. Like, it's like, hey man, we're a professional organization. Clean it up. Mm-hmm. Like, they've even done as much as, like, they put the mantra, the Scott Perry mantra, above in the upper ring of the in the locker room, the six words, the pillars. They've gone down the hallway.
Does anyone know the pillars?
No.
Okay.
It's because
I gotta be honest, I've tuned them out.
Work hard, be dedicated.
Hustle, loyalty, and respect.
Yeah. Like, there's the wall going into the locker room. They've done all kinds of artwork there. The practice facility, they've started. Like, he's got his fingers in, like, everything. And he is not, like, he is sitting here trying to convince Vivek Ranadive what has to happen next. That's what he's doing. That when you see him sitting on the sideline and the game is completely out of control and Vivek Ranadive eventually gets up and walks out, the entire time Scott is explaining to him why it is that things are going south and what they have to do next. And it's going to be painful, and the only way to move forward is to do this, this, and this. He's not sitting there going, Vivek, is it okay if I... No, that's not happening. This is Scott Perry's show right now.
100%.
Like, whether he decided that Doug Christie was his guy or not, like, Doug Christie went 27-23 at the end of last season. He probably deserved a shot at to be the head coach. Mm-hmm. He'd been an assistant for 3.5 years. Like, he's a Sacramento guy. You understand the passion that he has. Like, the problem isn't so much that. Like, they had a conversation. They have the same type of morals and the same type of vision for basketball. Mm-hmm. Scott Perry's like, okay, well, I can do this. Like, Doug can be the head coach, and maybe he's on a short leash, maybe he's not. Mm-hmm. But again, it's Scott's show. If Scott wasn't comfortable with mm-hmm. Doug being the head coach, he wouldn't have been hired.
You said Doug went 27-23 last year. What changed? Why are they so awful this year?
Mm.
When they traded for and signed a point guard to a $14 million a year deal?
I don't know, but one of my speculations, and Jesse was hit the nail on the head when he would always ask this question over the summer, is you got a bunch of people that aren't invested in the outcome, mm-hmm. in the result, mm-hmm. and they're all looking at their next destination,
mm-hmm.
and they're more focused on that as opposed to trying to see this succeed. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's crazy that, like, we continue to say we've gotten to this point this quick, but last week that's what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like, you know, they'd maybe heard some rumors or whatever, and they're like, I ain't really locked into this. It ain't my problem.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to buy time till I get out of here. Mm-hmm. And, man, it's just really crazy how quick that happened. Like I said, and I wasn't just throwing anything up against a wall. Literally the week before, I was like, yo, these guys, they get after it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they play hard. Like, they may not be good enough, but they compete. I love seeing that. Whatever. Then a week later, they look the complete opposite.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Brutal.
I think, again, like, losing Keegan Murray, I think both, like the player, but also, like, the idea of him and having the young player you're building around and the young guy that can play defense and sort of mask some of the other deficiencies, it, like, not only physically but psychologically had a huge hit on this team early on. It was like, oh boy, man, we're going to be without our best defender for 6 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks.
You are soft.
So I was going to say, so they turtle up? That's crazy.
Find a way
that's
to get
crazy
through it.
To
like,
me.
I get your right hammer. It sucks, man, but this?
Yeah, no, I didn't
wild.
Expect it to
be
this
be
bad.
This.
No, I did not expect this to be the way the season. I expected them to not be very good, but I thought they would lose against bad teams. They would beat good teams, and then it would be a coin flip against the other teams. And it's not a coin flip. It doesn't feel like that at all. It feels like the Kings are one of the worst three teams in the league or four teams in the league.
I was just watching highlights of Utah competing with Atlanta thinking that one must have been nice. Like, all they did was compete. That would have been great.
I sent Kyle he said, do you see Jalen Johnson's stat line? I'm like, yeah, Precious Achiuwa's got to be one of the top five defenders in the league. If that's what he's going to do the next night. Like, what in the world?
Jalen Johnson last night, if you missed it, played 41 minutes in Atlanta's 132-122 win over Utah. 31 points, 18 boards, 14 assists, 7 steals.
Mm. Goodness gracious, man. Like, 7 steals.
Oh, God.
Is just obnoxious.
That's another one. You look back on, it's like, why didn't you take him?
Well,
there were some red flags with Jalen Johnson. Red flags. He fell.
There was some red flags personality-wise. I think there were some red flags injury-wise as well. Injury history stuff, but...
Yeah.
Mm.
The talent's always been there, but it always felt like there were moments where the lights are on, but nobody's home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's why, like, a lot of teams passed on him and he fell in the draft. What did he go, 19?
Yeah, he went late. I mean, he was a top five, top 10 talent coming out of Duke.
Yeah.
You know, he was that guy talent-wise. But like you said, there were some red flags going into that draft, and he fell all the way to 20.
He's averaging 21.5 points, 9.5 boards, 6.3 assists, 1.8 steals. He's shooting 57.9% from the field, 35.5% from three, and 80% from the line.
Man.
What if Keegan came back and they just went on a run?
I'd be happy.
It would coincide with their schedule getting soft.
That'd be so great.
It'd be like, oh, what is happening? Keegan.
I would love that. I want to see him, like, tonight. I was saying earlier, it feels like tonight's a...
Those guys are like, we didn't quit. We were just missing our buddy. That's all.
MVP. I was talking about...
oh, my God. Yeah, oh, night one. I guarantee you. Night one. Kings winning at the Golden 1 Center. Keegan gets MVP chance.
Oh, 1,000%. Hits a big three to give him a lead.
Yeah.
Late.
Yeah.
I'm just glad to be back, guys. It's just one of those things where...
That's gonna go out there.
What is that?
No one asked. No one asked.
James, I want to wait on James's Keegan. Was that Buffalo Bill?
They had a place behind Cal State Hayward, a pizza place called
Puts
Buffalo
lotion Bill's. On her skin.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's one with that.
Do you know who Buffalo Bill is?
There's another great line there.
I just know
that's inappropriate.
No, I just know the Kenny. Pizza place.
No, I don't think Kenny knows who Buffalo Bill is.
Kenny's like, oh, you know Buffalo Bill, the pizza guy.
Have you ever, Silence of the Lambs? Yeah. No.
Kenny's like, no, he's awesome.
Silence of the Lambs. Silence of the Lambs is the one where the guy was
eaten with him
was,
a bunch
Hannibal
of times.
Or something.
Yeah, right? Hannibal Lecter. Yeah.
I didn't watch it, but I know that that's what was going on.
Yeah.
I have a radio show, guys. Thank you.
Yeah. Hannibal Lecter, yeah.
Somebody in Sacramento media called me at 9:58 today.
I know who that person was because they called me right after.
What?
He wanted to know what a brand manager was. He was like, hey, what's a brand manager? I want to know how happy to be for Kyle. I was like, well, when I told him it was a program director, he was floored. He's like, really? Wow. That's great. So that individual is very excited for you.
Yeah, no, I got his tweet.
That's it.
After he called you and found out what it was.
Yeah.
Hey, man, congrats. I'm so happy for you. What the hell?
He legitimately didn't know. I was like, that's just what the company calls program.
It's director. A lot of paperwork.
It is.
Yes. Yeah.
A lot of busy work.
Learned a lot in that conversation, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He's had quite the week.
Oh.
Well, hit the group chat.
What are you going to do? You guys talk amongst yourselves. Just mound visit Mitch. How did you do that last night? Here we go.
Oh, that's terrific. That's terrific.
Well, I don't know, Goon. What about Klay Thompson coming back to the Warriors?
Hey, Goon, what do you think about Klay Thompson? I think Klay Thompson is looking purple and
black.
That's
one of my favorite bits. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. Brock Purdy, Goon, what do you think?
I don't know. If he's ready to go, Stanley, he's got to play.
Jerry Jones.
Goodness gracious.
We've gone off the rails. It's fine.
My boy is back, though. I am hyped. My boy is back. I know we're talking Kings, but my boy's back.
Who?
Who? Brock?
That's my boy. You know that's my boy.
I don't know.
That's my boy.
Man, it is.
You've been my
boy. I don't know.
You know
what? He has.
A chair over Mac Jones, sir.
Now, look, I said yesterday, Mac is my boy.
You ain't never assaulted a chair over Brock Purdy.
Great point.
I said yesterday, Mac is my boy. He is my boy.
No, that's,
But Brock, since Thursday night in Seattle, bro, come on, bro. That's my dog right there. 13 is back. Let's go.
I think their chances to go 3-1 or 4-0 in the stretch are the exact same.
Sure.
Say that sentence again.
I think they need to go 3-1 minimum.
Okay.
In this four game stretch to make the playoffs.
Okay.
I took it a game further. I said 4-1. I put the Indy game in there. I said 4-1 in that stretch.
Yeah, just you get it. Okay, sure.
Yeah. Which could be
I think
the
it,
that
I think
you're
talking about. I think that their chances to win four of their next five are this. I'm not going to say that. I want to backtrack. I think their chances to win three or four of their next four games are the same with Mac Jones under center versus with Brock Purdy under center. Mm-hmm. Now,
got it.
Mm-hmm. Indianapolis, I don't think they can beat Indianapolis and Mac Jones. Because I think beating a team like that is going to require the secondary playmaking, the scrambling element that Brock Purdy brings. Mm-hmm. But Arizona, like, you got to beat Arizona. I don't care who's under center.
Watch out for Cleveland, too.
Cleveland.
Just because of the defense. You might be able to beat them, like, 13-10.
Yeah.
The defense is going to be a problem. But, yeah, the reason why I set the five games is before those last two games of the season, I need you at 10 wins already.
Sure.
I need you at 10 wins already.
Yeah, I think you can probably get away with losing to Indy because you got the Bears coming up, and I think that's probably
a
little more winnable game.
That's a 6-3 Bears team, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, a tier 3 Bears team. Thank you.
Quarterback. He's going to
be scrapping
pretty well.
Yeah. Be scrapping
we didn't do
playoffs.
Tuesday tiers this week.
I was just about
we
to
didn't
ask.
Do we weren't here on Tuesday.
I know, but usually, last time we didn't do them on Tuesday, we punted them.
Which reminds me, I'm saying this right now on November 14th. I said it on after the second week of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's lining up right now.
Oh.
Bears Lions to end the season in Chicago.
Mm.
Remember, I said if I was Ben Johnson, I'm going to remember what you did in week two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to remember what you did in week two, big dog. Mm-hmm. You tried to run that score up, big dog. I remember our handshake. Mm-hmm. I remember that. Just imagine if he remembers it and that team remembers it and it's for a spot in the playoffs for both teams. Win or go home. I'd be rooting for the Bears in that situation.
Lions by 30.
My Atlanta Bears fan says, not Jared Goff outside the dome.
Mm.
He said, no. Not Jared Goff outside the dome.
Mm.
There's two different players. He said he come to Soldier Field. And history has backed him up. He's had a problem in Chicago in the winter. I want that to be the case.
Me too.
That to be the case. Win or go home, the Bears remembering what you did in week two.
The Bears prior to that play the 49ers in week 17 in a game that might decide both teams' playoff fates.
We'll see.
Game against Detroit might not matter.
No, they're going to lose that game, and then they're going to need the Detroit win.
But here's what Chicago's got coming up. They're at Minnesota.
Should win. Sneaky, though.
Should win?
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota just got handled by a good Ravens team.
Thank you. Tier 2 Ravens team, some say.
Yeah.
Then they're home against the Steelers, at Philly, at Green Bay, home against the Browns, home Green Bay, then at San Francisco, and then the Lions.
That's tough.
There's a real chance that San Francisco game doesn't matter for the Bears.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't.
Not guaranteeing it. That's a tough
second
stretch
to
of
last.
Games.
Yeah.
They're
that's
only,
a tough stretch of games.
Not that they can't win, but they're only favored in one of those games, the Browns game. Maybe the Vikings game.
Steelers at home? They're favorite of the Steelers.
I think they'd be fit right now today. When's that game?
November 23rd, next Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. It might be like a
might depend
Bears,
on what the Steelers
Bears
do this
by
weekend.
1.5 or something. Ooh. Like that. Or,
yeah. Have you guys looked?
Hawks were favored by 3.5 on Wednesday, so who knows?
No.
We know how that ended.
We
kicked their ass yesterday. They deserved it, though. They got their ass beat.
They did.
Yeah.
We're going to kick their ass again today. Like, what you want? Like,
that's it. So I was going to talk about the Carolina Panthers. We'll talk about the Sacramento Kings instead. That feels like a better choice. So.
Is it, though?
Really need that.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she.
The Panthers, just real quick, on the Panthers. The Panthers lost to the Bills by 31. They beat the Jets by 7. Lose to the Bills by 31, beat the Packers in Green Bay by 3, lose at home to the Saints by 10.
That's
the weirdest team in football. Yeah. To hell with the Panthers. All right, the Sacramento Kings. I feel like this game tonight, Damien, you called yesterday rock bottom, or Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Wednesday night into Thursday rock bottom.
Yeah.
But I don't, like, you're not, rock bottom means it doesn't get worse than this. If you lose by 30 tonight, it gets worse.
I don't think it does. I think the bottom's been established. Now,
but if you win tonight, You go play well, you pull out a win in Minnesota, it's like, oh, okay. All right, maybe they've stabilized. Maybe they got something here.
I don't think that's what happens, though. And I'm not talking about winning or losing. I'm talking about, I don't think that's the reaction if they win. Now, unless you're talking about their reaction. If you're talking about an internal reaction, I have no idea. Maybe you're right. The external reaction, if the Kings win tonight, I think a large portion of the fan base would be like, great, Kings won. What's for dinner tomorrow? What are we doing this weekend? Like, I don't think there's, oh, they've stabilized. It's going to be more like these son of a bitches. I swear.
That's fair.
And I think people would just shake their head. Like, I don't, and this was a topic of conversation yesterday. I think we've 3-4 in a row. We're like 8 of 9 before you've really gotten this fan base's attention again.
Yeah. I know, me personally, I don't trust this group.
I think, point, rock bottom, if they lose by 30 tonight, the outrage that was here yesterday isn't going to be there tomorrow.
They've reached, so rock bottom in terms of like, they've reached that point of apathy.
Fans, no, I don't think this fan base will ever be apathetic towards this team. I think they'll just be like, I'm not going to get mad again. I was mad 48 hours ago.
Is that not apathy?
I think.
Because you're still following the team. Apathy is the state of not caring, isn't it?
I feel so vindicated right now. Lack of interest, enthusiasm, or concern.
Okay, then I'll give you we're enthusiasm. But I don't think lack of interest fits.
Words.
So if you want to take the other part of it, then that's fine. I don't think they're going to continue to watch the basketball team. They're going to continue to tap in to the shows and the podcasts and all of that different thing.
Of course.
I just don't think they're going to be outraged a second time in 48 hours because they lost to the Timberwolves
I agree with you.
So I think the interest is there. The other two, that's fine. 2 out of 3, so you win.
Slightly apathetic.
Nitpicking, picking nits a little bit.
Yeah.
I do think people will and are starting to lose interest in this group. Not the Kings as a franchise.
Yes, that's it.
You know, what they do moving forward. This group of players, they could care less.
I think that happened before the season started.
Yeah.
I think Russ energized them a little bit, but I think the other guy, I do not. I think Russ won the city over. Yeah. They still do not like this collection of basketball players. But they love Keegan. Yeah. So Keegan's.
And Keon.
Well, I have no idea if Keon's ever going to play basketball, but I know Keegan is. Mm-hmm. And there, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens when he comes back. Also, there is the contract component for Keegan. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You start to get looked at differently when your paycheck changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if fans are going to start. I don't know when that starts for him, given, you know, the unfortunate circumstances he's going to return to.
Well, I would say this too. Like, for me, one of the keys that has to happen right now is that it's not just like dumping players to dump players. It's, you understand that this version of the Kings is over. And do you have another version that's coming right behind that? Mm-hmm. And the only way to know that is to not only play Keegan Murray, but give Keegan Murray the opportunity to show you whether he is one of those guys. We have to know if he's a fourth best player or seventh best player or third best player. What is he? And I think realistically the way to do that is to find some way to put him and Neat Clifford on the front line together and see if they can complement each other. And whether that's a 2-3 combo going forward or a 3-4 combo going forward, you at least have to know, and you have to see if they elevate each other by playing the right way. Mm-hmm. Because as of right now, I don't think we can get a true read on what Keegan is, and I don't think that you're going to have the freedom to show what Neek is until you clear out some of this other stuff that you have that is just clearly not part of what you're doing moving forward.
Right.
So, like, I'm never someone who's like, make a trade. You make a trade because you're flat out not good enough, and number two, you make a trade because the pieces you have do not fit together at all, and they're broken. And the only way to allow some of the pieces that you do have that might fit together is to clear some of that out and just open the door for what's next.
Yeah.
We know what's behind you, and half the team is behind you. It's gone. It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
We need to see what's next.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
No.
But I doubt it.
No chance.
Could be wrong, but I doubt it. I got my answer on Keegan. Keegan ain't, his ceiling is their best player on a really good team. That doesn't mean you don't put him in situation try to find, but I got that. I know if I'm Scott Perry, I need to find, whether that's in the draft or through trade, I need to find a one and a two. I need, and talking about best players on the team, not positions. I need to find that, because the people that are here right now, none of them are that. I got Keegan, who's probably third best player on the team. Mm-hmm. Me, around that area, maybe a little lower. Like, if I have him as my fourth or fifth best player, I got a good team.
Sure.
But I know what I got with those two for the most part. I just need to find the franchise and a Robin.
Two things. One, I feel so bad for Keegan, who's going to come back to like a 5-14 team.
And hey, we need you to save us.
Guys, I'm ready. We're wearing the standings. The other thing, Kenny, I hear what you're saying. I think you know what you see with Keegan. Mm. I don't think the Kings are where you are.
Mm.
I think Scott Perry very much is. They wouldn't have paid him what they paid him if they thought he was at best the third best guy on a title team. I don't think.
Mm.
They think there's more there. They think there's, like, it's fine if there's not. You're not dramatically overpaying him if he is just kind of what he is. But I think there's a hope that, like, hey, you know what? Given an expanded opportunity, he could be a tier better than he is now. And that's where if that's the thought process, you have to do what James is talking about. And you have to clear some guys out and figure it out this season. All right, you're going to have 60-ish games left when Keegan gets back, 55, 60 games. See what it looks like with him as a second option.
The money kind of matches up with, like, the third best player, right? Like, I know there's only so much he can make because he's on another contract.
Yeah. Right.
But, like, Jabari Smith, it's $23
million. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'd probably be like your third or fourth best player.
Mm-hmm.
Like those number ones, and once again, there's a slotted amount he can make. But those number ones are like $40, $50 million players. Mm-hmm. And if there was...
Or you're a two and a three on the best team in basketball.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right. But like if it was an open market with how he could pay, they wouldn't pay Keegan $40, $50 million.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So like they paid him... About what a third type player is and what he can make at that moment. But
like a little more.
A little bit more.
Like a little more than Jabari Smith got, because maybe he can give us a little more than Jabari Smith gives the Rockets. And I think you have to figure that out.
Well, I think
and you might be right.
The point that I think you're kind of making is like the Kings are basically an entire team of third best players. There isn't a one. There isn't a two. There's a whole bunch of third best players on a
former number one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at this point, they're former number ones.
Yeah, like,
yeah. But like DeMar DeRozan, you know, like for the last 5 years, can be the third best player on your team. Zach LaVine can be the third best player on your team. You know, I think Domas can be easily the third best player on your team. You just keep getting to this moment, though. It's like Keegan might be able to be the third best player on your team. If you don't have a first best player and a second best player, then it makes those guys just. It makes life really difficult.
Think
for
they
him.
Are.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, again, I talked about it early in the show, but, you know, I'm sick and tired of watching, you know, Kings players go one-on-one against the opposition's best player who are, like, almost, like, all-league defenders. Like, why am I watching, you know, guys going one-on-one against Alex Caruso or Dyson Daniels? Like, show some, like, basketball IQ in that moment. Move the ball. And I get it. You've done it before. You're a great player, all this stuff, but... You're the guy drawing the attention, which means somebody else is either open or has a lesser defender on them.
Mm-hmm.
So make the right basic basketball play, but that's not what we're seeing. We're seeing a lot of like weird, selfish play and just play that like is going to lead to losing every step of the way. Doesn't matter what team you're on. If you're doing that stuff, that's how you lose.
Yep.
And it's tough.
Which I get what you're saying, but what, pass it to Dennis Schroeder, who hasn't made a shot in a week?
No, I get you.
Like, they don't have guys that are outside of the guys that would do that, like Zach and DeMar. They don't have give it to DeMontis Sabonis, who can't score on anybody one-on-one. Like, at some point, I do believe you got to trust your teammates and you got to give them the opportunity. But they don't have a lot of guys that can do much of anything right now.
As much as trusting your teammates, you have to be realistic about who you are as a player and who the defender is facing you. Like, I do not want to see this same thing tonight when McDaniels goes and locks up a guy. Move the ball.
Yeah.
Move the ball. Like, you're not going to score on a guy who's 3 inches taller than you and has a 7'3 wingspan and moves like a guard, and all he does is play defense.
And the frustrating thing is they often do.
Yeah.
Like, you even go back and go back to the first quarter, not the Atlanta game, but whatever. Like, there's games where they move the ball well. There's halves where they move the ball well.
Yeah.
Denver, three quarters where they move the ball really well. And then everything falls apart and they start focusing on other things.
Yep.
I think that's the biggest thing with Doug. Like, you showed me you can do it. Don't act like you guys can't do it. Don't act like you can't move the ball. Don't act like you can't play defense for stretches. Because I saw you do it. I saw you do it again against OKC. You lost, but you still played a great game.
Yeah.
Show me you can do it again. And when you lose by 30-something, it's just like an admission that you're not playing hard and that you're not in it. Yeah. You're not here for it.
We got to get out of here, but we just want to say I agree with TC. I'm not keeping Zach Levine or Levi. Jamar. And I agree. I'm not keeping Jamar either. Jamar can go. Jamar.
Get Jamar out of here.
I think Levine is French.
Is that Zach Levine? Is that who the guy who played Chuck?
Yeah, I think so.
Get Jamar.
Jamar.
They already did, TC. He's not there.
All right. D'Lo and Casey coming up next for James Hamlin comments. And shout out to Jesse Tapia helping us out in the second hour. We are the Insiders back on Monday at 10. Drink water. Be nice, people.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.